What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to learn more or schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis, there. Monday, February 27th edition of Crunch Time. Plenty to get to on the show. As always, 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation, running down all the latest in high school athletics. And when there is a state finals and it involves some of our area student athletes, that's where we will always start on this particular program. We will talk about the boys swimming and diving state finals. Speaking of state championships, East Central's football team recently getting their state rings. We got a couple of area high school soccer stars that have committed to play at the college level. We'll talk about that. And then, of course, the boys basketball sectional getting underway this week. So that is what is coming up on the show this evening. We will start with the boys swimming and diving state finals taking place up at the IUPUI Natatorium on Friday and Saturday this past week, and we had a handful of young men from the area competing at the state finals. Most of them from East Central High School, also had one competing from Milan. We will start with Aiden Ketchum, who competed in the 50-yard freestyle event, and he ended up finishing 15th. There were 32 that participated in this event between the preliminaries and the two final rounds. Aiden, 15th. His final time was 21.57 seconds to finish 15th overall. For comparison with the state champion out of Harrison West Lafayette, that final time was 19.95 seconds. So still a great showing from Aiden Ketchum and plenty to build on from his junior to senior year. I would expect to see him back at the state level again next season. Aiden was not done there, however, competed alongside his teammates in the 200-yard freestyle relay alongside Kyle Goodwin, Caden Cummins, and Henry Strotman. Those four individuals finished seventh at the state finals. Their final time, 1 minute 27.2 seconds. And for the champion from Zionsville, they actually set a finals record, state record, for 1 minute 20.5, breaking the previous record of 1 minute 21.2. So, awesome performance from East Central. Obviously, fell short of a state championship due to a record breaker from that team from Zionsville, but excellent effort from those four young men in the 200-yard freestyle relay. And for East Central, there was still one more event that they participated in at the state finals as well, and that being the 400-yard freestyle relay. So you had Dylan Rollman, Caden Cummins, Henry Strotman, and Aiden Ketchum on that team, finishing 16th with a time of 3 minutes and 16 seconds. So another nice showing there to make it into the final, because again, you got the preliminary rounds, you got to get into those final races as well. So a really great showing from East Central. And kudos to Dylan Thomas as well from Milan, not to be forgotten about. He competed at the state finals in the 100-yard breaststroke and ended up finishing 20th. His final time, 58.5 seconds. For comparison, for the state champion from Carroll Fort Wayne, that final time was 54.6. So just a few seconds behind the state champion. But Dylan Thomas making it to the state finals, representing his school well, broke a ton of school records this year as just a junior. So again, we'll be seeing some of these young men, we think, again at the state final level next year as they look to build upon this successful season and have some things to work on in the offseason and build towards perhaps a greater finish next year at the state championship. Speaking of state championships, the East Central Trojans football program, of course, you know by now, won the state championship Thanksgiving weekend in November. Dominant fashion, 37-7 win over New Prairie. That game was never close. New Prairie scored late in the fourth quarter. So the third state championship in school history comes in dominant fashion, and they finally got their championship rings this past week. Got the big EC logo right in the middle, and you'll notice three blue gems on the ring as well, and those signify the three state championships in program history. Look pretty sweet. Sweet. And as I'd mentioned, just on a regular programming last week during Drive Time with Double T, I'm sure the coaching staff, the players, all those involved with East Central football, the parents as well, they're all, I'm sure, super thrilled to finally see those rings come through. Those that actually got one, I'm sure that's going to be a cherished memento for the rest of their lives. It is not easy to win a state championship, and when you do, you are joined at the hip with those teammates and coaches for the rest of your life, because that is something that you did and completed, accomplished together. So that should be something that they do carry with them for the rest of their lives. And another big congratulations to East Central on their state championship from this past season. They will start the defense of their 4A state title in August. I believe it's August 18th at Lawrenceburg. That will, of course, be our kickoff game to our broadcast season. I know it's a little early to start thinking about that, but it's one we already have circled on our calendar, as two teams that reach the state finals will play in game one of the 2023 season. So there's no way we're missing that one. Let's move on and talk a little soccer here on the program. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoCincy.com. So we seem to have a little bit of an East Central theme to start the show out this evening, so we'll stick there with high school soccer, as senior Joey Black announced last week that he's going to continue his academic and athletic career at DePaul University in Greencastle. Black was a third-team all-state selection as a senior, tallied 10 goals and 13 assists for the Trojans, according to Max Preps. He is a two-time all-EIAC selection and will be joining a DePaul team that went 6-7-5 in 2022, so not too bad for that program, but they certainly could use some an infusion of talent, as they're kind of middle of the pack in their conference. And Joey Black, certainly a very talented young man that's going to continue playing his college ball at DePaul. And he's not the only star from the EIAC that's going to be moving on to play at the college level. South Dearborn High School senior Dana Lewis announcing over the weekend that he will play at Manchester University, if you're unfamiliar with that university, located a little west of Fort Wayne. So he, too, will be staying in state. A spectacular high school career for Dana Lewis. Pretty similar to Joey Black's, if you ask me, but a tallied 47 career goals, 18 assists over three varsity seasons as a junior. He found the back of the net 27 times, two-time All-EIAC selection, and did see a statement from his head coach, Jonathan Wisman, following his commitment. Obviously said how proud he was of Dana and talked about the effort, the passion, the sacrifice, the pain, and the heart that he puts into the game, how well he has represented South Dearborn boys soccer for 4 years, and then wished him all the best at Manchester University. He knows that Dana will represent them with the same joy that he did at South Dearborn. And Dana's been on this show a couple of times with his South Dearborn teammates, and you can tell that he really loves the game of soccer. So we wish him the best of luck at Manchester University. And of course, Joey Black, we wish him the best at DePaul as those two young men go off to college to continue their soccer playing and, of course, their academics as well. All right, time for some second half action on Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoCincy.com. Boys basketball state tournament starting up tomorrow here in the state of Indiana. 49 other states, it's just basketball, but here it just seems to mean a little bit more. And I am very much looking forward to being in a packed gymnasium on Wednesday for a doubleheader from sectional 29 at Greensburg. And there should be some great sectionals in our area. We're going to go through and break them down a little bit further. Last week, I did break down the sectionals in terms of telling you the pairings, maybe what teams to look for in terms of doing something really well during sectional week. And now I want to talk more specifically about each of these teams and how they're playing down the stretch. Who's coming into the sectional playing good basketball? Because sometimes that is half the battle. If you are coming in hot, you stay hot and maybe cut down the nets. We've seen it happen many times before, and maybe that'll be the case for some of our area teams this week. Now, Class 4A Sectional 14 at Columbus North, it does look like it'll be a little bit of an uphill battle for the East Central Trojans, but they did get a really great win on Friday to round out the regular season, 48-44 over Greensburg. Only 3-7 over their last 10 games, but that big win on Friday could give them a little confidence going into a tough first-round matchup against Shelbyville. Over their last 10 games, East Central has played two sectional teams. They beat Columbus East by 2 points on January 27th, lost to Columbus North 55-29 on February 4th. They have won their last two games. As I mentioned, Greensburg, previous to that, they blew out Union County. Carson Pozonka, this has been a young man that has really stepped up for this team as a sophomore. They're kind of a younger, more inexperienced team this year under head coach David Disbrow, who's been around for a long, long time. Certainly some talent on this team. But again, that inexperience going through the regular season kind of reared its ugly head. But Carson Pozonka has been a standout on this team. Double-digit scorer in all but four games this season. He's coming off 23 points against Greensburg. Very efficient in that game, 8 of 13. Trojans shot 56% from the field in that game. They made 6 of 14 three-point attempts. They're going to need more of that in the sectional if they are to advance and ultimately win the whole thing. Defensively, I see that as less of an issue for Coach Disbrow's team. They are very capable of shutting down the opposition. They did great against Greensburg. Their big three of Kai Dyer, Jeter Edwards, and Jack McKenzie combined for only 28 points on Friday. So it's a defensive effort like that that can propel East Central through sectional 14. And they'll need a strong defensive effort against Shelbyville, as scoring sometimes hard to come by for this team. If Pozonka has a night off on the offensive end, if he's not performing up to his capabilities, then things get a little murky for East Central. Where's the scoring come from? Yes, Dylan Maxwell, Cole Wheat have played really well this season. Beyond those three, the scoring kind of falls off after that. They do have some capable guys that are more role players or coming off the bench. But again, offense, maybe not the strong suit of the Trojans, but they can lock you down defensively, and they're going to need to guard the three-point line against Shelbyville. In their last meeting, Shelbyville knocked down 9 threes. They shot nearly 30, so this is a team that is going to try to score from beyond the arc. East Central is going to have to be privy to that as they lost 9 points to Shelbyville earlier in the season. Shelbyville, they're 5-5 over their last 10. They are on a 4-game losing streak to end the regular season, so perhaps East Central catching them at the right time, and it'll be a situation where Shelbyville may have won the regular season matchup, but East Central will take the postseason matchup. Shelbyville's last game, 55-49 loss at Batesville. That's a team we're going to talk about here momentarily. They are one of the hotter teams in the area, but this Shelbyville team's pretty good. They knocked off Connersville earlier in the season. They aren't a great defensive team, I will say that. They give up about 56 points per game, but Ollie Sandman, 17 point per game scorer. Caden Claxton's right at 10 points per game, and Damon Bagley is a guy that scores about 8.5. So they got a big three similar to the Greensburg team East Central just saw. They're going to need to hold these guys down, make the other guys beat them, because Shelbyville can score the ball a little bit better than East Central, but this one might come down to which role players step up and make some shots on both sides of the floor. A lower scoring game, you would think, favors East Central, and if they could win, they would advance on to play Whiteland in the semifinals. This is a team that's 4-6 over their last 10, have won 3 of their last 5, including 59-55 win over Beech Grove on Friday. They average close to 60 points per game, but they also give up 60 a contest too, so they like to get up and down a little bit. Wyatt McLaughlin, a really good player at about 17 points per game. They got two others that average near 10 points per game, and they are 2-1 versus sectional opponents. They do hold a 7-point win over Shelbyville, so there's a little bit of a comparison between Whiteland, Shelbyville, and East Central. I think any of those three teams could go on to the championship. I think they're all capable of beating one another, so it'll be a really interesting side of the bracket. On the other side, you got Columbus North and Franklin, who might be the two favorites in this sectional in terms of the Sagarin. Columbus North has the best Sagarin. They got the home court advantage. 6-4 over their last 10, so they're playing about the best of any team in this 6-team sectional. None of them are really blowing the doors off people at this time of the year. But this Columbus North team has a lot of senior leadership. Cooper Horn is a 17.5 point per game score. Ty Ferguson and Luke Harmon, they average close to 10 points per game. So that leadership and their scoring is what they're going to lean on in this sectional. For Franklin, they're junior heavy, but have three really good scorers. Micah Davis at 17.5 points per game. Wyatt Nicholson and Dylan Beverly are each over 10 points per game. They're only 4-6 in their last 10. They did have a three-game losing streak coming in, or they do have a three-game losing streak coming into postseason play. They recently played Plainfield, Columbus North, and Jennings County, all three very, very good teams. When you break down this matchup, North, the better defensive team, giving up about 10 less points per game, but both teams have the three guys that can really score the basketball. Should be a fun and good first-round matchup. Edge to Columbus North through the home court advantage, and whoever does win that game should get past Columbus East pretty easily based on the way they've played this season. They're just 2-19. They had lost 15 games in a row prior to a two-point win over Madison on February 17th. So again, Columbus North looking to be the favorite in this sectional, of course, playing on their home court as well. But East Central, they really intrigue me now, coming off that win against Greensburg on Friday. I think that can really propel them into, perhaps knocking off Shelbyville in the first round. And if they do that, anything can happen against Whiteland in the semifinals. So good luck to East Central in sectional 14. Let's talk sectional 29 in 3A. This is the sectional we'll be covering this week, courtesy of Ivy Tech Community College. Doubleheader on Wednesday featuring Lawrenceburg and Connersville, followed by South Dearborn and Greensburg. Before that happens, the opening game on Tuesday, contested between Franklin County and Rushville. Earlier matchup this season, way back in December, Franklin County won it 34-32. That was an interesting game back then, because both teams took really good care of the ball. They had less than 10 turnovers each. Rebounding was virtually even, and both teams were even in terms of shot attempts. So they played really even game in December. Will they do that again on Tuesday? It looks like it could be a tight one. Neither team's playing particularly well coming down the stretch. Franklin County's 1-9 over their last 10. Rushville's 2-8. Franklin County's been playing without their star Brant Ertl, and without him in the lineup, they've really struggled to score the basketball. In 7 of their last 10 games, they have failed to score 35 points. So that might be the key for Rushville. If you can hold them to around 35, you're probably going to win the game. The winner's going to get Batesville in the semifinals. That's not good news for either one of these teams, as the Bulldogs are one of the hotter teams, not only in sectional 29, but in the area. They've won 7 in a row, and they just really have a good basketball team. Cole Pride, very tough to stop. Big guy, 16 points per game. Cade Kaiser, another big guy at 6'4". He's averaging close to 13. Sam Johnson, Jack Grunkmeyer, Gus Prickle, these are all key contributors, and they are a team that is getting hot at the right time. So I don't think anybody wants to see Batesville. They know in their minds that they got a really good draw. One, because they got the bye. They got to play one less game. That's obvious. But they get the winner of Franklin County and Rushville. Those are the two teams that are struggling the most in this sectional, so it looks like Batesville has a clear path to the championship game on Saturday. But who will they match up with? The bottom half of the bracket, all going to be sorted out for the most part on Wednesday night. Connersville and Lawrenceburg in that first game. Connersville is the top team in the sectional in terms of their Sagarin rating and in the polls, and because they have beaten all of the teams in their sectional, going 7-0 in conference play to win the EIAC outright this season. Spartans are number 4 in 3A. They come into the postseason riding a 6-game winning streak. They've won 9 of 10, so they too are a very hot team. Their only losses this season: Delta, Shelbyville, Lawrence North, and Jennings County. If you take the Shelbyville game out of there, that's one that they slipped up on. Probably shouldn't have lost that game. The other three, really, really good teams. So to beat Connersville, you have to either be really, really good, catch them on a night where they're not playing so well, or bring your A to A-plus game. They are very, very difficult to beat. And Lawrenceburg found that out on February 18th, just a couple weeks ago. Connersville winning the game 53-37 in the Spartan Bowl. They played one game since then, and of course won that game as well. Tigers fell behind 9 points at the end of the first quarter in that game, could never really claw their way back into the game. This is also a team, when you play against Connersville, you have to stay close to them because they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't take bad shots. They're usually very efficient on the offensive end, so you can't let them get ahead of you by multiple possessions because there won't be enough possessions in the game to get back close to them and or take the lead. So, again, very, very tough team to beat. Not saying that they can't be beat, they're just very, very tough to beat. Connersville had 4 double-digit scorers in that game against Lawrenceburg and shot 63% from the field. They made 10 more baskets than Lawrenceburg. That's what I'm talking about right there. They just kind of suck the air out of the gym with the way they play, the suffocating defense. It's hard to get good shots against them. They don't turn the ball over a ton. They've had their moments this season where they've had maybe 15-plus turnovers a game or two. You need to catch them on a night where they're sloppy with the basketball to really give yourself a good chance to win. So what does it take to beat Connersville? Well, I looked at the common theme among their 4 losses, and again, they were playing really good teams when they lost to those 4 teams, but they only had 2 double-digit scores or less. I think that's significant. If you can take away a couple of those guys that can get you 10 to 12 points, that's, you know, hold them down into the single digits, that is going to be a way that you keep yourself in the game and maybe even beat Connersville. It sounds really simplistic, but it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. If you're playing a team and they got 4 guys that scored in double digits, they already got 40 points, maybe 50. Other guys chipping in with some here and there, they're up to 60, and they play really good defense, have one of the best defensive teams in the state. You're not beating that, so you have to hold them down offensively and make sure that not too many of their starters go wild on you. Lawrenceburg, looking at them, they've had a great season, 18-6. They're certainly capable. They've won 7-10 down the stretch. They've only had a back-to-back losses once this year, and that came to South Dearborn and Connersville just a couple weeks ago. But defensively, they're right there with Connersville. Connersville's 8th in the state at 40.6 allowed. Lawrenceburg's 12th at 42.2. So this is a game that should be a defensive struggle. You want to play it close to 40, 45 points and see who can make the big shots down the stretch. For Lawrenceburg, offensively, they can't afford to have an off night from Logan Rohr or Cooper Bobo. They both need to play well in this game. They need to go double digits, and they need to get some help. Ben Cornett has been a big part of this team's success this year. His brother Sam, Noah Caniga, are some other guys that have stepped up, maybe not known for being big scorers, but are capable of getting 10, 12, 15 points on a given night. That's what it's going to take to beat Connersville, at least from my perspective. And I am putting on my color commentator analyst hat this week because that's the seat I'll be in calling the game with Mike Perleberg. And like I said, it's going to take a great effort to beat Connersville. I'm not trying to downplay how good Lawrenceburg has been this season. They are certainly capable, but Connersville has proven that the opposition needs to play an A game to beat them, and that is the mark of a really, really good team. Looking at game 2 on Wednesday night, South Dearborn and Greensburg. Their previous meeting was a 66-60 win for Greensburg. That was the infamous Brody Tiki game. The junior guard went for 30 points on 10 made threes. And the Knights are starting to play a little bit better down the stretch. We've talked to Coach Cosgrove a couple times here recently, and the consistency just hasn't necessarily been there for his team. But they've won 3 in a row coming into the tournament and are 6-4 over their last 10. Ryan Willoughby, Brody Tiki, no secret, they're the heartbeat of this team from a leadership and a scoring perspective. Willoughby's also their top defender. Tiki provides control of the game from his point guard position, but the things that have been standing out beyond that over this recent stretch, Xander Schwab has really stepped up on the offensive side of the ball, scoring the ball more consistently. He's had some double-digit performances. They'll likely need him to be close to a double-digit score, being able to continue knocking down big shots in big moments to help this team advance on through the tournament. And then Hudson Shackelford is another kid that I think is really starting to shine in his role as well, becoming more confident in that role and his abilities. So those are some guys that are going to be key for South Dearborn's success. I'll throw Adam Kunkel in there as well. That's their starting five. They don't go real deep, so those five are going to have to do some really good things for them this week at the sectional, and they'll have to do it against a really good Greensburg team that's won 8 of 10 coming into sectional play. They did split their last four games. They had that four-point loss, as I mentioned, to East Central on Friday. Didn't necessarily play a bad game. They didn't have the greatest shooting night by their standards at only 43%. They did leave some points at the free throw line, which is uncharacteristic, and committed 13 turnovers, but a dangerous team, particularly playing on their home court. Kai Dyer, Jeter Edwards, Jack McKenzie, we mentioned them. They all average double figures, capable of having big scoring nights, and they were all in double figures the last time they played South Dearborn, including 26 from Edwards. They shot 69% in that game. South Dearborn at 59%. I expect it to be a little bit more lower scoring this time around in the sectional. I just think offensively, South Dearborn is going to try to slow them down a little bit, kind of make it out like it's a Lawrenceburg game. I'm going to have more on that during our pregame coverage on Friday, or excuse me, on Wednesday. But yeah, I don't expect the shooting percentages to be that crazy good for these two teams on Wednesday. Turnovers and rebounding were near even the first time around. Pirates went to the free throw line a lot more, 12 of 15 compared to 4 of 4 for South Dearborn. Just a few things that stood out in that first matchup. But again, these got the potential to be two really good games. Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn not going to be favored to win these games if you look at the Herald site and his predictions based on the Sagarin ratings, but South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg are more than capable of going to this sectional and winning these games in the first round. I know the draw wasn't necessarily great for them, but as I mentioned last week, you're going to probably have to go through Connersville and Greensburg at some point in the tournament. Why not meet them head on right out of the chute in the first round? I'm running out of time here, so I apologize for not getting to these other sectionals as much as I would like to. Sectional 45 at Milan, featuring North Decatur, South Ripley, Switzerland County, Milan, and Hauser. If you look at Switzerland County and Milan, they're matching up in the first round. Switz is 4-6 over their last 10. That does include a 8-point loss to Milan on January 28th. They committed 21 turnovers in that game, otherwise played pretty well. Jacob Williams has stepped up. You know, they haven't had Cam Craig pretty much all year. Williams is the number one scorer now. Kanan Johnson, Cooper Todd, Aiden Griffith, they have shown flashes. Those are guys that are going to need to step up in the sectional. Milan, they've won two in a row to snap a five-game losing streak previous to that. Their main struggles on the defensive end, they allow close to 60 points per game, but we've seen them be able to score the ball really well in spurts. So I think Switzerland County and Milan is going to be a really good game. It's hard to beat a team twice in one season, especially when you played a close game earlier in the year. So it could go either way. Hauser's awaiting the winner there. And these are teams that have traded wins and losses against one another. Milan beat Switzerland County. Switzerland County beat Hauser. Hauser beat Milan. So these three teams, all of them, should be confident that they could get to the championship game. And they will play either South Ripley or North Decatur, which could be looked at as the de facto championship game. North Decatur, the best team based on record, Sagarin ranking as well. That one should be a great game. North Decatur's won 9 of 10 coming into the sectional. They average 60, give up 47. Very tough team to beat. They played South Ripley really early in the season, won by 12 points. I think South Ripley's a different team. Cole Henry, 20 points per game. Blaine Ward, those guys average 35 together. They get some other guys like Gavin Binion and others stepping up. South Ripley certainly capable of pulling an upset, particularly on their home floor. So will that end up being true? We'll find out. That's going to be a fascinating sectional. And then got the two 1A sectionals. Jacksonville looks like they could be a really strong favorite to win sectional 60. I like their odds there. I'm sorry I don't have enough time to break that one down any further. And then Rising Sun competing at sectional 62 at New Washington. They just played Medora over the weekend, crushed them. It was a 72-59, off the top of my head, I think it was something close to that. They're playing again on Tuesday. I don't see that one going a different way, and Rising Sun has a really good shot of getting to the championship round. I know Trinity Lutheran's going to be a team to contend with there. New Washington, not bad as well. So Rising Sun, a really good shot to get to the championship game and perhaps cut down the nets. Again, apologize for running out of time, but that does happen from time to time here on this particular show only have 30 minutes to fit in all that I want to talk about, and I think I needed 35 on this Monday night. But we do want to wish good luck to all of our area teams as they look to keep their seasons alive this week at the sectional. We'll be at Greensburg on Wednesday, Lawrenceburg versus Connersville, 6 p.m. sharp, followed by South Dearborn and Greensburg, presented by Ivy Tech Community College. Really looking forward to the call with my pal Mike Perleberg. Thank you so much for listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoCincy.com. We'll do it again next week, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.